Thank you so much, JJ. Always a pleasure to be with you. Yes, so we do this thing for Central Syria and Iraq. We look at West Africa and we look at Afghanistan, the three, what we would consider real hotspots of GRD terrorist activity. Basically, it's a daily monitoring of anything this terror group puts out in that area, translated into English, and then once a month, you get an analysis from our side of what that means. What clearly the Syria-Iraq reporting demonstrates is that although it may no longer be in the news unless some high-ranking ISIS caliph or commander is killed, and the insurgency is very much alive and kicking. Now, the May report notes, of course, that in May we had a drop, but that's because in Syria in attacks, but that's primarily due to the fact that we had four spectacularly high-level attack numbers in the last 4 months. The last month being the highest ever since the insurgency started in 2018. So it is, you know, it's still a very traumatic situation. It doesn't make the headlines because they, you know, stop putting out beheading videos of Westerners, but it's still very much there, which also means this is the areas in Syria that border the Kurdish-controlled areas in which there are thousands, or tens of thousands indeed, ISIL fighters and their families in custody, including thousands of European, including most of the men that are still alive, that had left Europe after 2014 and are still alive in Kurdish prisons. So that means if this insurgency gets out of control, and every month it has the risk that it may, we do have a very large likelihood of a massive revival of terrorism in the entire area.
Hans, what's driving this insurgency?
Well, look, I mean, the Syrian civil war hasn't been resolved, right? So the grievances that started this whole sad situation in Syria, i.e. the brutality of the Assad regime and its henchmen, the incredible brutality of this civil war, none of this has been resolved in any way, shape, and form. It's just both sides have been sufficiently exhausted, i.e. the Assad regime no longer being able to do major military offenses, is in control of two-thirds of the country, more than it had before, but it won't be able to extend beyond that. The ISIS factor being taken out by the international, not taken out, but significantly diminished by the international campaign against it until 2019. And by the way, the Defeat ISIL coalition still exists. So that member state coalition still meets fairly regularly to observe the threat. But other than this, none have been resolved. So the grievances are still there, right?
Yeah.
You have other players in the country like Iran and Russia who are now apparently, as leaked documents from the US military demonstrated a couple of weeks ago, are very much trying to push the Americans out. As with Afghanistan, where we left, as with West Africa, where we are about to leave, leaving a difficult situation will not make it better. It will only make us blinder. So, yeah. You know, I haven't heard anything, but if there's any arguments that we should, that American forces or international forces should leave Syria, we cannot leave this area up to Iran, Russia, Assad, and the Islamic State. That would be a catastrophic situation.
One of the things that's pretty obvious right now is that there has been silence essentially from ISIS when it comes to Central Syria. There have been no attacks that they've talked about. Looking at your report, there have been some small things that have taken place, but they've been quiet about everything. And there is this concern about why they may be quiet. Could it be that they're planning something? Could it be that they need to keep quiet? What's your view on why they've been sort of quiet there?
Look, our interpretation is that to a significant extent, this had to be expected after so much terrorist activity in April, so much in March, so much in January, so much in December. You do have to let the network recuperate. Every attack you do will result in some kind of response. They lost a couple of leaders in the last couple of months, and we regularly talk about them who are no longer with us in Syria. So then the network needs to recuperate. Clearly, when we're talking about the Islamic State elements, yes, they conduct attacks primarily in Iraq and Syria. That doesn't, however, mean that they've given up on the idea to conduct attacks elsewhere. There are, as I keep mentioning, individuals in prison in Germany who had been instructed by ISIL in Syria as well as ISKP in Afghanistan to prepare for terror attacks, so what you call directed attacks. Just a week ago, the German government made raids all over the country, arresting a network of Islamic State financiers who were on social media collecting money to send to the individuals in the camps. One of the reasons why they sent the money there was to get them out of the camps, i.e. not out of the camps back home, out of the camps back to the Islamic State, right? So this is still a, you know, unfortunately no longer very much talked about, but very active terrorist zone. And when the Islamic State is quiet, it's definitely recuperating the network, and I wouldn't put it past them that they think broader than just Syria or Iraq.
Dr. Hans Jacob Schindler, Senior Director of the Counter-Extremism Project, GJ Green, WTOP News.